ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदाशिव समारंभां व्यास शंकर मध्यमां अस्मदाचार्य पर्यंतां वंदे गुरु परंपरां श्रुति स्मृति पुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्र भाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति शांति शांति। Shankaracharya refuted or their arguments, or you can say clarified their doubts that moksha cannot be attained by karma. Karma is not the means of attainment of moksha, and heaven, moksha is not attainment of heaven, because heaven has a beginning, heaven will have an end also. Heaven, attainment of heaven happens to be the result of an action, result of the practice of meditation and the performance of rituals. It's a karma phalena propriety. As heaven is accomplished as a result of karma and upasanam, and definitely the result is time bound. The moksha has the swargaha has a beginning, and swarga will have an end. Therefore, heaven, moksha is not heaven, because moksha is eternal. That was made very clear. And what is moksha? He said, moksha is nothing but abundance in one's own self. We are not undoing physically anything. Undoing, nothing is destroyed, nothing is removed. Physically, nothing is removed or nothing. Undoing anything is not physical, undoing is not moksha. It's a purely cognitive. Moksha is nothing but abundance in one's own self. Swatmani avasthanam moksha. And the abundance in one's own self means cognitively shifting the essence from anatma to atma and seeing the self, the content of I, meaning of the I being, the knower being, pure, formless, abstract consciousness existence. And claiming consciousness as the self is what? Swatmani avasthanam, which is being one's own self. Being one's own self means not having identity, giving up the identity with the body, mind, sense complex, by seeing the consciousness being the self is being oneself. Not having identity with the body, mind, sense complex, by seeing one's real nature being consciousness is being oneself. And being oneself is abundance in oneself, which is said to be moksha. And for which, for this, not to have identity with the body, mind, sense complex, and to see oneself being consciousness, when you see what happens is avidya nivrittihi happens. The ignorance is resolved in the wake of the clear, doubt-free vision of the essential nature of I, the surup of I being conscious, limitless consciousness existence. Ignorance of the truth is resolved. And ignorance is resolved, ignorance caused erroneous perception is corrected. Then the superimposition of limitations is resolved, negated, thereby all the wrong notions about the self also will be resolved. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, I am a mortal, I am inadequate. All these notions will be resolved. The wrong notions are negated. The wrong notion caused, sense of incompleteness caused desire will resolve. When the desire resolves naturally, as a result of which the karma also will be resolved. When the karma, then even if a wise person performs karma after jnanam, that karma is called karma abhasaha. The karma performed by a wise person is performed without the doership and enjoyership, which is known as karma abhasaha. Which means, karma abhasa means, the wise person, even if he performs, he will not attract any punyam or papam, because why he doesn't utter punya papam? Because he has no doership and enjoyership. Which is called moksha. We saw very clearly in the page number 57. Now we are moving on to, I think, a homework I have given. Hope you read all the pages. So you must keep reading the pages along with my completion of the commentary. Now, in page number 60, Shankaracharya, Swayamcha Atma Brahma, Swayamcha Atma Brahma means, Atma means the reality obtaining as the innermost essence of an individual. The reality obtaining as an innermost essence of an individual is implied by the term Atma. And that reality obtaining as the innermost essence of an individual, as a content of I, the knower, implied by the term Atma, is actually nothing but the limitless consciousness existence. Implied by the term Brahman, obtaining as the reality of the entire cosmos. I'm repeating the sentence, please listen carefully. Atma is Brahman. What is the meaning? The reality obtaining in the form of essential nature of an individual, I, the knower, implied by the term Atma, is in fact nothing but the limitless consciousness existence implied by the term Brahma as the reality of the entire universe. Therefore, Atma and Brahman are identical. Tad vijnanat avidya nivrittihi. By knowing that Brahman, by knowing that tad vijnanat apparambarulai arivadal, tad vijnanat, by knowing that Brahman, because of the knowledge of that Brahman, obtaining in the form of limitless existence, the limitless consciousness existence, as one's own Swarupam, then ignorance becomes resolved. Discovering that reality, the limitless consciousness existence, implied by the term Brahman, obtaining as one's truth of I in one's own mind is in fact the dissolution of ignorance, is the removal of ignorance. So what is knowledge now? Discovery of what is knowledge, and discovery of what is negation or resolution of ignorance, removal of ignorance. Discovery of what is knowledge, which is negation of ignorance, resolution of ignorance. Ataha, therefore, Brahma Vidyartha Upanishad Arabhyate. Therefore, now, Brahma Vidyartha Upanishad Arabhyate. Therefore, Upanishad, the text which serves as a means of knowledge of Brahma Vidya, now is begun. It means Upanishad is begun, means the study of the learning of the unfoldment of, or the understanding of the Upanishad now is begin, as Upanishad is the means of knowledge of, the means of attainment of knowledge of Brahman obtaining as one's own self. Okay. Now, so Shankaracharya made it very clear why Upanishad study is begun. So clear. Brahma Vidyartha Upanishad Arabhyate. Sorry. Brahma Vidyartha Upanishad Arabhyate. The Upanishad, which is meant for the understanding of Brahman, which is the means of knowledge of attainment of Brahman, now is begun. Okay. In page number 61, we are moving on to page number 61. Are you all with me? Okay. Now, Shankara Bhagavatpada presents the meaning of the word Upanishad. Very beautiful meaning. You will see that. Upanishad iti vidyochyate. Upanishad iti vidya uchyate. You have to break it. Upanishad iti vidyochyate means, how should it break it? Upanishad iti. Upanishad iti vidya uchyate. If you break it. Upanishad iti Upanishad iti. Vidya uchyate vidyochyate. Knowledge is said to be Upanishad, or Upanishad is known as Brahma Vidya, which means the meaning of the word Upanishad is equal to Brahma Vidya, knowledge of the reality. The word Upanishad means Brahma Vidya, knowledge of the reality. Tachilinam. I mean, second sentence. Tachilinam. Garbha janma jaradi nishatanath. Tadavasadanadva. Brahmanova. Upanigamitrutvat. Okay. In one small sentence, Shankaracharya makes very many things very clear. What does he say? Let me tell you. So here, tachilinam. If you break it, tast shilinam, shilinam. Shili, we understand. Shilam means actually virtue. Shili means virtuous. Shilam, virtue. Shili, virtuous. And here, what is the virtue here? Commitment to the pursuit of knowledge is the virtue. Commitment to the pursuit of knowledge is the virtue. And the one who is endowed with the virtue of commitment to the pursuit of knowledge is said to be Shili. The word Tat stands for Brahma Vidya. The word Tat stands for knowledge of the reality. What is Brahma Vidya? The knowledge of the reality, the meaning of the word Upanishad is Brahma Vidya, and that Brahma Vidya, the one who is endowed with the virtue of virtue in terms of the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge of the truth, knowledge of Brahma Vidya, is said to be Tachili. Adai adaivadil urdiyodirukkindravargal. Tachili means those people who are endowed with the Shilam, the virtue of commitment. Virtue in terms of commitment to the pursuit of knowledge are said to be Tachilinaha. Tat Shili. Shili Tachili. Sandhi, hope you remember the Sandhi. I mean, I have to teach you Sandhi again. Tasyaha Brahma Vidyayaha Shilinaha. So people who are committed to, who endowed with the virtue of commitment to the pursuit of knowledge of the truth, said with Tachilinaha. And for those people, Tachilinam means only for those people, Tachilinam means actually Jigyasu Bhaktas, people who have burning urge for knowledge of the truth, and who are committed to the pursuit of moksha, who have Purushartha Nischayaha, who know the connection between the knowledge and the moksha, thereby who know the value of the knowledge of the truth, and those people who are committed to the pursuit of knowledge of the truth are said to be Tachilinaha, those people. For those people, for the sake of those people who are committed to the pursuit of knowledge, this Upanishad is here as a means of knowledge. That's fine. Therefore, and this Upanishad, what is the meaning here? He gives four different meanings. Make a note. Garbha means living inside mother's womb. Janma, birth. Jara, old age. Adi means etc. Thayan vayatril iruttal, pirattal, mudumai adaidal, mudaliya, adi mudaliya. Garbha, janma, jara, adi. Etc. What are these words? They mean samsaraha. So this life, beginningless, endless cycle of births and deaths, known by the expression samsaraha, is fraught with living in mother's womb, birth, death, death, old age, etc. Including what? Going through life of pairs of opposites, etc. And that's samsaraha. So, garbha, janma, jara, adi. Until then, adi means etc. That expression stands for samsaraha. Garbha, janma, jaraadi, jaraadinam. Then, nishatanath. Now you can take the four means Shankaracharya is going to give Nishatanam. Please take the word Nishatanam. First noun is Nishatanam. Second noun, I'll give you one by one. Please make a note. First write the meanings, then you can see, we can see the Bhashyam. Then it'll be easy for you to follow. Okay, please write. The first meaning was Nishatanam. Second is avasadanam. Third meaning is nigamanam. And the fourth word is upadeshanam. Okay, now know the four words, okay? Nishatanam, avasadanam, upanigamanam, then nishannam. Leave the four words now. Now listen to me. If we take this word Upanishad, it can be broken into three parts. There are three components of this word Upanishad. First component is Upa. This Upa is actually a prefix, which means near. And it stands for the reality obtaining as the innermost essence of an individual, remaining as the nearest self. Upa stands for the nearest innermost essence. implied by the term Atma. Upa stands for nearest, the innermost essence, obtaining as the nearest self, implied by the term Atma. Upa. And Ni stands for, Ni is equal to Nischayarthakaha. Nischayarthakaha means definite, doubt-free knowledge. Ni stands for clear, doubt-free, definite knowledge of the self. So, Upa Ni, these prefixes alone imply the two prefixes which do not convey, which can be mean anything, but in this Upanishad, as components of this word Upanishad, Upa and Ni alone means, stand for doubt-free, clear, ascertained knowledge of the reality, obtaining as the nearest self, Atma. Upa and Ni means Atma Jnanam, self-knowledge. Upa and Ni alone mean self-knowledge. Then, one more expression, one more component is Sad. There's a root called Sad, the Dakara, the third Dakara. Okay, soft consonant, the. Actually, root is Sadr, and it actually becomes Sad. The Sad, even as a root of a verb, and it is converted into a noun, but by using a specific affix. And the specific affix, you have not learned in the Samskritam grammar. Don't worry about it, but time being you know this. The affix, I'm going to teach you later on. The affix is called quip affix. This, even though it's a root, this root sad, taking the quip affix, becomes the noun. Becomes the noun. Noun means, what happened, the affix will not be seen there. The quip affix, when it taken, the root is converted into a noun, but you cannot see the affix. That is why the affix is called zero affix. Anyway, so how to convert the root into a noun? There is a grammatical order, which we did not know. Now you can take the sad, which is a root, now it's no more a root, it is a noun. So, as a noun, the sad has four different meanings. Four different meanings. What are they? We have seen just now. First meaning is nishatanam. First meaning is what? Nishatanam. Nishatanam means another word, you can write more nouns. Visharanam. Nishatanam is equal to Visharanam. Visharanam also means Shithilikaranam. Very important to know the meaning of the word Upanishad. Very important. I'm giving all three, all the words, possible words. The now, the sad root is converted into a noun. As a noun, it gives you four different meanings. First meaning is what? Nishatanam. Nishatanam is the word used in the text, the Shankaracharya's commentary. And what does the word Nishatanam mean? Sad means Nishatanam. Nishatanam means Visharanam. Paltalsha, Visharanam. Visharanam. Visharanam means Shithilikaranam. Why am I giving you all the words? These are the different words used in different Upanishads. Better know all the words here itself. Shithilikaranam. Okay, now the question is, what do these words mean? Sad means Visharanam, Shithilikaranam, Nishatanam. Fine. What does it mean? It means destruction, disintegration. Now you can say, no, weakening, nishatanam, shithilikaranam means weakening, weakening, making it, make powerless, making powerless or weakening. This is the meaning of the word visharanam, shithilikaranam, nishatanam. Okay, second meaning. Second meaning, using the Sankacharya's word, avasadhanam. Avasadhanam means disintegrating or destroying. First is weakening, making it power, making powerless. Second, avasadhanam means destroying, disintegrating. Now, third word, Shankaracharya uses, upanigamanam, upanigamanam. Upanigamanam means leading to, taking to, or reaching. Fourth meaning, being a location. Fourth meaning is being a location. Okay, four meanings are given for this root sad, which has been converted into noun as sad by using quick prefix. Four meanings are there. But this sad now, what does it do? When it joins the upani, the sakara, sakara is a dental sakara, is replaced by cerebral sha. So it becomes what? Upanishat. The dakara also becomes takara. Da becomes ta, sa becomes a sha. Therefore, upanishat. A single word must be upanishat, not da. First ta. Is it clear? Upanishat. Now as a whole word, what does it mean? So, definite, clear, doubt-free, definite, knowledge of the reality, obtaining as the nearest self, the innermost self. This, what does it do? It weakens the afflictions of samsara. It weakens the afflictions caused by afflictions of samsara. In the form of remaining in mother's womb, being born, growing old, and experiencing pairs of opposites. So samsara, it weakens the impacts or of afflictions of samsara, fraught with transmigrating from one mother's womb to other mother's womb, birth, old age, etc. Okay, first meaning is over. Second meaning, this definite knowledge of the nearest self removes sanchita agami karmas. So sanchita karmas become resolved for good, agami karmas become resolved for good. They're not literally destroyed, they become resolved. So resolving is actually seen as destruction. So knowledge of the nearest self destroys Sanchita Agami Karmas for good. And the fourth one. This definite doubt-free knowledge of the self helps one recognize oneself being identical with Brahman. Only when you know what you are, you can see yourself being Brahman. Therefore, this definite knowledge of the nearest self helps one recognize one's own self being identical with the Brahma. One's own self being non-separate from Parambrahma. And this recognition of one's own self being identical with Brahman is said to be the Jivatma being taken to Paramatma. So, Upanigamanam means what? Going near. So, Jivatma is taken near Paramatma. Upanigamanam. Nigamanam means going. Definitely going near Paramatma. That's the meaning. Upanigamanam means definitely going near. So, here, this Brahma Vidya takes the Jivatma to Paramatma. It is not physical going. Upanigamanam should be understood in this way. Brahma, this definite knowledge of one's own self takes the individual to the Paramatma means, in the wake of this knowledge, one recognizes oneself being non-different from Paramatma. Recognition of the self being identical with the Parambrahma is said to be, figuratively, the Jivatma, knowledge takes Jivatma to Paramatma. Okay, so third function. Then fourth one. Being the location is the fourth meaning. And here, in the Brahma Vidya, the definite knowledge of one's own self, in the knowledge itself, moksha is located. Knowing itself is discovering, knowing the self. Knowing the definite knowledge of one's own self is what? Definite knowledge of freedom, happiness. Therefore, moksha is located in self-knowledge. Moksha and knowledge being identical. Moksha, knowledge itself is moksha. Therefore, moksha is said to be located in knowledge. One meaning. Another meaning is, in the wake of definite knowledge of moksha being one's own swarupam becomes clear. In the wake of the knowledge of the nearest self, moksha, happiness, fullness being one's own self. Becomes clear. Therefore, fullness is located in consciousness, the Atma, which means fullness and consciousness being one and the same, fullness is said to be located in consciousness. Therefore, this knowledge enables one locate the moksha in one's own self. Actually, moksha has no location. Please understand, moksha is consciousness. Freedom implies happiness. Happiness implies fullness, limitlessness, and fullness and limitlessness are synonyms of the word existence, consciousness. Therefore, moksha also is not located. But what it means is, one discovers moksha as one's own sarupam. It means moksha is available for recognition in the wake of the knowledge of the self. Therefore, moksha is said to be located in self-knowledge as the nature of the self. Okay. This is what is meant by the word Upanishannam. Upanishannam means what? Located. And when you take it as a noun, being the location, I said. Okay. You got all the words now? Upanishad has three components. You know, with itself clear, free, definite knowledge of the absolute reality obtaining in the form of the innermost essence, obtaining as the innermost essence of one's own self, as the nearest self, is Upani. So we can say briefly, self-knowledge. Upani means self-knowledge. And this self-knowledge thus is involved in four functions. It does four things. It removes the it weakens the impacts, afflictions of samsara, fraught with many things, samsara. Then it puts an end to, avasadana means putting an end also. It puts an end to completely sanchita and agami karmas. And it as though takes the jivatma near paramatma by helping the jiva recognize one's own atma being identical with Brahma. Then in discovering the Atma, moksha becomes discovered. Therefore, knowledge itself is the locus of moksha, is said to be located in jnanam. Other than jnanam, if you search for moksha, moksha will never be available. Therefore, moksha is located in jnanam. It helps, it means Brahma Vidya enables one to discover freedom as one's own sarupam. Okay. This is the meaning of the word Upanishad. Very beautiful meaning. Let us see the mantra now. Upanishaditi vidyochete means vidya uchete. Knowledge is said to be Upanishad. Which knowledge? Brahma vidya. Knowledge of reality. Takshilinam, for those people who have the virtue of the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge of the truth, for those people, garbha janma jaradi nishatanath, as knowledge of reality removes afflictions in the form of remaining in the womb, being born at birth, cost, which is in the form of also sanchita agami karmas. Brahmanahava upanigamayitrutvat, as his knowledge takes the jivatma near the paramatma, parambrahma. Then finally, Upanishannam va, go to page number 64. Upanishannam va asyam param shayahaiti. As the moksha is asyam means asyam brahma vidyayam mokshaha uparishannaha. See, the word mokshaha is meant by another expression, param shreyaha. Please make a note. Another term for mokshaha is param shreyaha. Param shreyaha means the exalted good or absolute good, ultimate good. Param shreyaha, shreyaha means good, param means exalted, ultimate, absolute. Param shreyaha means absolute good, ultimate good. And moksha is said to be ultimate good here. Param shreyaha means mokshaha. Asyam means what? Asyam brahma vidyayam. In this means in this self-knowledge, upanishannam located. Therefore, Upanishad, Brahma Vidya alone is meant by the word Upanishad. Brahma Vidya does all this, four functions of Brahma Vidya. Knowledge of reality does four things. It weakens the samsara effects. It destroys Sanchita Agami karmas. It makes the Jivatma go to Paramatma. It helps you locate the moksha. Therefore, Brahma Vidya is the meaning of the word Upanishad. And why moksha is called Param Shreyaha? Because Pujya Swamiji explains the meaning of the word Shreyaha in 2nd chapter Bhagavad Gita. I do not know whether you remember this or not. Shreyaha means good. Shreyaha actually Sakaranta Napumsakalinga Shabdaha. It's a neutral gender word. Shreyas means good. But the word good is a relative term. Okay, what is good for one person in one place? What is good for one thing? A thing can be good in one place. It may not be good in other place. It can be good for one person. It might be good for other person. So what is good for one person? One place or in one time may not be good for other person, another time, another place. It's relative good. But absolute good is that which is good for all people of all times, of all places. What is that? Jnanam. Jnanam in terms of moksha, happiness is happiness or fullness is the desirable for all people of all times of all places. And jnanam is that which can get the universally desirable happiness for all people. Therefore, jnanam is the absolute good, because which is good for all people of all times of all places of all cultures, because it is this jnanam which alone can get the universally sought happiness. Therefore, jnanam is said to be param shreyaha. Moksha is said to be param shreyaha. Moksha. And this moksha is upanishannam, inseparably located in jnanam. Therefore, Brahma Vidya alone is said to be Upanishad. Upanishad is another word for Brahma Vidya, based on the functions of Brahma Vidya. And here, that is the meaning of an Upanishad. And is Brahma Vidya actually knowledge of the reality? So these components of the word Brahma Vidya reveals Brahma Vidya by pointing out the functions of Brahma Vidya. But Brahma Vidya actually, knowledge of the reality rises in the form of a thought in the mind. Your Brahma Vidya, the first meaning of the word Brahma Vidya is the knowledge of reality rising in the form of a thought in the mind. Akanda akara vritti jnanam in the form of a thought alone is Brahma Vidya. That's the primary meaning. And the secondary meaning is this textbook. The book also is known as Brahma Vidya, Upanishad, Brahma Vidya, because it serves as a meaning, it serves as a means of attainment of that knowledge. Therefore, the textbook also is known as Brahma Vidya Upanishad. Okay. Now, we have finished the introductory bhashyam. Upanishannam va asyam param shayaha iti tad arthatvat granthaha api upanishat. Tad arthatvat means what? As this text granthaha api upanishat, the second meaning. Secondary meaning of the word upanishat is what? The textbook. Why? Because tad arthatvat. As this textbook is meant for the attainment of this self-knowledge. Tadarthatvat means adarkaha irupadal. Tadarthatvat, as it is meant for the attainment of the knowledge of reality, attainment of Brahma Vidya, as it serves as a means of knowledge of, means of attainment of knowledge of Brahma Vidya, it is, the textbook also is known as Upanishad.